I love that. Jesus paid it 6 hours one Friday. And if you would place your faith in Him, you will have your debt paid to the point when we stand before God, the Father, which every single one of us will stand before the Creator of the universe at one point in our life. If you stand before the Father and He says, why should I let you into heaven? If you say, well, because I try to be a good guy, then I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay your own debt. But if you say, because Jesus placed His blood upon me to forgive me and cleanse me, then He will say, debt paid, come on in. What a great and incredible and beautiful song that we can sing in that. But let's get to our text this morning. We're going to get there in just a moment, but you can flip over to Matthew chapter 13 and 44 is where we'll be. But, you know, chickens and pigs don't often hang out together. But one time there was chicken and a pig that were walking down this town and walking through this town, and they see a church, and the church is having a charity breakfast to raise money. And the pig, caught up in this idea of charity and trying to help out the church, said, hey, you know, we ought to do something to help them. And the chicken said, great idea. Let's serve them bacon and eggs. And the pig said, hold on one second. For you, chicken, it's a contribution. For me, I'm all in. And I don't know if I like that idea. All right, all in, total and complete. Given is all. Anyways, yeah, that didn't go over so well, did it? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I try. Every once in a while, I try. But when we think about that idea of all in, something that we started talking about a little bit last week, and I want us to think about this idea of all in. We're going to start a series, several weeks, going through this idea of all in. What does it mean to be all in? And there's all kinds of things that we think about when it comes to all in. And one of the verses that I will use probably often, because I use this verse a lot and quote this verse a lot, is Luke 9:23. And Jesus says, if you would follow after me, if you would come after me, then you must take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. All right, a lot of times we hear that verse and we think, wait a second, don't get too far here. Let's not be a Jesus freak after all. When I was in school, that's one of the things that they used to say about people that try to do everything they could to follow Christ. All right, don't be a Jesus freak. And maybe you heard that. Maybe your parents said that to you. I don't know, but oftentimes we would hear this. Listen, don't be a Jesus freak. And what do they mean by don't be a Jesus freak? The idea of don't go overboard here. All right? Don't go overboard. But when you look at Luke 9:23, there's no other option. That's what Christ called us to, right? It's not about being overboard or being a Jesus freak. It's about being a follower of Christ, which means being all in. Now, we use this idea of all in quite a few places. Now, I'm not a poker player, but I know, and you all know, that whenever a poker player says, I'm all in, what's he saying? He's putting every chip that he has out in the middle of the table, and he's saying, I'm not keeping anything back for myself. I'm all in. I'm putting everything that I have right in the middle. Let's go. Let's get it. All right? Or we talk about this in sports, right? Football started up. We love the idea of football. I watched football yesterday. I watched it Friday night. I enjoy watching football. But when we think about the idea of all in when it comes to football, there's another phrase that comes to mind. Leave it all on the field. Leave it all on the field. What does that mean? That means that that athlete is going to do everything that he can in order to leave it on the field. He's going to exert every amount of energy, every amount of effort, and he's going to walk off that field with no regrets to say, I've done everything that I can to win and be the best that I can. All right? So we've got all in when it comes to the football field or when it comes to relationships. Man, this is a great illustration when it comes to being all in for a relationship. Our marriage vows. Have you ever thought back about your marriage vows and what you said? Let me give you an illustration, because this is the vows that I use. This is the vows that whenever I perform a ceremony, this is what I typically will use. And so this is what we would say in our vows. Using my own illustration, my own life, I, Drew, take you, Jamie, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to love and comfort from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, check this out, forsaking all others, as long as we both shall live. What is that saying? What is that saying? It's saying, listen, I'm all in. You got my life. I'm going to give you all that I am. I'm going to give you my life. That's what we do in marriages. We say, I'm all in here. And so when we think about this idea of all in, there's all kinds of different things that we use it for. There's all kinds of different situations that we would apply that to. But when it comes to following after Christ, what I want you to understand is that whenever we are all in, first of all in means that you that it makes things worth doing. Being all in makes things worth being worthwhile, be worth doing and being involved in. Being all in is what causes us to be successful in what we do. Think about that for a minute. When we say, I'm going to be all in, I'm going to do everything that I can, and I'm going to give in my everything, that's when we're successful. That's when we are able to see the fruit of us being involved with that, when we say, I'm all in. Being all in is what allows us to show the world what is the most valuable thing to us. When you're all in with something, people look at you and they say, oh, well, they love that. Oh, they're all about that. And it's very evident, it's very clear, whenever we're all in with our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with everything that we do, the world's able to see very clearly, yeah, they're in. That's their love. That's their desire. That's their passion and everything. And so we need to understand that when we think about this idea of all in, this is the first step to understanding who we should be in with Christ. Here's the main idea today. The first step to being all in is to see Jesus in heaven as the treasure that it really is. The first step to being all in as a believer in Jesus Christ is to recognize the amazing, infinite value and worth of heaven and Jesus Christ. All right, so look with me in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. Now, I will say as we begin, this is a convicting text. This is a tough one to read. This is a tough one to think about. This is a tough one to hear what Christ says to us and then step back and say, do I really put that much value into heaven? So let's see what Jesus says here. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Wow. Now, the common theme in both of these two parables is the fact that the guys that are listed here, that are mentioned here, they're all in. They're all in. There's no holding back. There's no stepping back to say, well, maybe I'll get part of it. No, they're all in. Okay? Think about the guy playing poker. All in. Let's do this. That's what these guys are all about. And so when it comes to our lives and thinking about what it is to be all in, let's consider a few things. The first thing is this. You know that you're all in when you see the treasure as more valuable than anything else. You are all in when you see the treasure being more valuable than anything else in your life. Sometimes I don't know that we see it that way. Sometimes I don't know that I see it that way. That's why this is such a convicting thought. Do we really see heaven in Christ as the treasure that He deserves to be seen as? But what is treasure? When we think of treasure, we think of gold, we think of precious metals, we think of gems, we think of pirates, we think of treasure maps. Right, we think of all these different things. As a matter of fact, I remember a movie when I was a kid called The Goonies. Many of you all have seen that, and if you have, it's a movie from the 80s. That means you're probably old like me if you saw it when you were a little kid. All right, but The Goonies was all about these kids that were best friends, right? And one of the friends were going to lose their house and going to have to move and be away from the rest of their friends, and so they found this treasure map and about this legend that was in their town. And they went off on an adventure to find this treasure. And they did, man. They found a pirate ship full of gold and treasure and all kinds of other things with this incredible adventure. Then there's another one that's really one of my favorite movies. If you've not seen it, I would encourage you to go check it out. It's The Count of Monte Cristo. Great story, great theme. There's all kinds of Christian ideas within that movie. Phenomenal storyline with everything. But what is it all about? This guy gets framed, thrown into prison, to the point where he's locked up in solitary confinement and he's beaten once a year, every year, and he develops this bitterness and this hatred for the person that put him in prison. And then he meets an old man that's trying to dig his way out of the prison. And this man teaches him everything. teaches them how to sword fight, teaches them how to read in several different languages, how to do mathematics and economics and all of these different things. And they begin to try to dig out where the man dies. If you hadn't seen the story, I'm sorry. I'll probably ruin a little bit of it, but that's okay. He dies, and before he dies, he gives Dantes this treasure map. And he takes this treasure map, and he folds it up, and he thinks, what good is this going to do me? And then it hits him. This man just died, and they're about to take his body and throw it outside somewhere. If he trades places with him, then he will have freedom. Y'all, here's the first idea of that movie that kind of comes out as a Christian overtone. Jesus died in our place, and if we would trade places with him, we have life. That's one of those Christian ideas within that movie that's so unbelievable. So he trades places and he gets out and he's able to go and find this treasure. And it's more treasure than he could ever imagine. And he begins to buy things in this mansion and buy all the stuff and puts on this facade. And he becomes the Count of Monte Cristo so that he can get revenge on this person that put him in prison. And he ruins really a lot of his life trying to get his revenge. But there's a couple of things in those two movies that they find out. Number one, the Goonies, they figure out that the real treasure's not the gems and the gold and all the stuff that they have. The treasure is their own life, the family that they have. Count of Monte Cristo, you know what the real treasure is? When he finds freedom from his bitterness and his hatred. And he goes and he finds that family is the true treasure. It's incredible when we think about these ideas of treasure. When we look at Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says that treasure very simply is something of infinite value, of great worth. And so when we think about this idea of who Christ is, we need to understand there's something that is far more valuable in this text and in heaven than anything else in this world. The thing that is the treasure in your life is the thing that you value most. What do you value most today? What do you think about most today? When you're alone by yourself and doing whatever you do as a hobby, what do you think about the most? What is the thing that pervades and dominates your thinking and your mind? Oftentimes, that's what reveals what our treasure really is. Now, what makes treasure treasure? It's that idea, that thing that's most valuable. But Jesus here, he begins with two very, very short parables. Now we don't fully understand this first parable, or really both of them, because it's a different time. We don't think in the Palestinian mind frame. We don't think about what's going on here. But Jesus says there's a man that goes and buries, or he finds a treasure buried in a field. Now, oftentimes we're like, dude, why in the world would you do that? We think about that when it comes to pirate movies and things like that. But we don't do that. We go to the bank, right? We go to a safe deposit box. We get a safe in our home and we put our valuables in that and we lock it up. But in the Palestinian world, it didn't work that way. They didn't have banks. They didn't have safe deposit boxes. So what would they do? They might have a piece of property. And if they were going to have to go to war, or if they were going on a long journey, or for some reason going to be exiled, they would go and they would bury their treasure in the ground and cover it up to keep it safe. This is a normal practice of that day. They would do that all the time. Now, where this gentleman comes from that finds it, we don't know. He may have been a hired hand that was hired in order to plow a field. Or maybe erosion caused this treasure to poke its corner of the box out. I don't know. We have no idea what took place. But he finds this treasure. And he thinks to himself, I've struck it rich, right? Think back at the Beverly Hillbillies, right? When that black gold came bubbling from the ground, right? He found something that he wasn't expecting. And that's what took place in this particular story. He looks at this and he sees within this an incredible reality. Now, a lot of people will argue and say, this is an unethical behavior. He's stealing somebody's property, stealing somebody something. Now, what happened a lot of times whenever people would go off to war is that they would bury the stuff and they may die in the war, and then that treasure just stays there. It could have been there for decades. It could have been there for a long, long time, and that person that owned it may no longer be alive. But the reality is that this is just a parable. It's just a story. It's not real, and Jesus is not promoting unethical behavior. He's just telling a story to make a serious point. And the point is that there's something much more valuable than anything else in the world, but how this individual sees the value of this treasure. And so when we look at this idea of the treasure, our treasure in life, We need to understand there is nothing that can compare to the value of Christ and our life in Christ. There's nothing that can compare to our life in Christ. We can fill our lives with all kinds of things in this world, but there's nothing that compares to who He is and what you can have in Him. And so when we think about this idea of our treasure, are we all in because we see this infinite value of this treasure? It's too easy to lose sight of things because of all that is around us. We get distracted by a lot of things. There's a lot of things pulling for our attention here and there. But we need to look back at this treasure and realize what it is. Now, this man here, when he finds this treasure, being all in with as a follower of Christ and what he does in a correlation with what he does, we need to remember that treasure that we have in Christ, it does some things. We need to, first of all, think of what you treasure the most. Think about what you treasure the most, what you think about the most, what you desire the most. And then you will search for what you treasure the most. I think there's an incredible truth there. This gentleman here, he saw exactly what he wanted. And he said, I think that there's nothing better than this. And then he searched for it. He tried to do all that he could to get it. But you also see that you live for what you treasure the most. Now, the man in the story, the treasure motivated him. The treasure consumed him, and the treasure filled him with joy. He was ready to go. He found what he never thought that he would find, and he was all in at that point in order to experience this amazing treasure. And so, you are all in when you see the treasure is more valuable than anything else, but you're also all in when you're willing to do anything to get it. When you're willing to do anything to get it. And think about this gentleman. He's out there in the field. He sees this treasure. What does he do? He covers it back up and then he starts thinking, how can I obtain this treasure? Because if he literally picked it up and walked off with it, then the guy that owned the land that he was plowing on could have said, hey, that's mine. He could have said, wait a second. So he starts to think, I got to do whatever it takes to get this. I've got to make sure that I'm willing to jump in and create this plan to get it. And again, this is not an unethical behavior. And it wasn't that person's treasure who owned the field, or else that guy would have gone and dug it up before he sold the field to him. Right? So we see it wasn't his treasure. It was somebody else's that was lost. But understand this. Actions reveal our treasure. I know that you can finish this phrase. Right? A picture is worth 1,000 words, right? A picture is worth 1,000 words, and so our actions reveal where our treasure is at. Another phrase is this, put your money where your mouth is, right? It's all about our actions showing what we believe and what we treasure and what we desire and all things. And so our actions prove our treasure. It's about proving what you believe by how you live. Do you prove that God is the treasure? Do you prove that your life in Christ is a treasure? Listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. As I've thought about this more and more, I'm convicted. All week long, I've thought about, is this my treasure? Do I live like this is my treasure? Do I act like this is my treasure in all that I do? And so we need to see that this isn't just convicting me. It's convicting as well to hopefully anybody that sees treasure is not something being other than what Christ is. Trying to replace Christ and put something else in that place of treasure. Is that how we view Christianity? Do we see Christ as the absolute highest treasure, highest value in everything? Is this how our faith is viewed in our own life? Do we see the infinite value of our life in Christ? Do you see the infinite value of who Christ is and what He's given to you and the promises that He's made and the ability for you to experience forgiveness and salvation by His blood? Do you see that as a treasure? There's another verse that I think is pretty hard-hitting. And you know, Jesus had a lot of these phrases that were very hard-hitting, a lot of these things that He would say that really struck people between the eyes. But He says in Luke 9, 57 through 62, He says this, "And they were going along, and someone said to Jesus, I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus responded this way, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son has nowhere to lay His head." Well, we hear that and we think, what in the world is He saying? Well, this is what He's saying. Will you follow Me even if you don't have the comforts of the world? Jesus is saying, you want to follow Me? Are you sure? You're willing to follow Me even though you don't have the comforts that the world may provide, that you don't have your own home and your cushy life? Is He such a treasure to you that you're willing to follow Him even if you don't experience the comforts? Well, that's hard for us to think about, isn't it? Because we like our comforts. I like my comforts. I like my own bed. All right, how many of y'all are with me on that? You go travel and you go and sleep in different places, or you have to sleep on a couch or whatever it may be, and you get home and you're like, oh, my bed. Right? But Jesus says, do you treasure me so much? Do you see me as such a treasure to the point where you're okay with giving up your own comforts because you see me as the better thing? He goes on in that particular passage in verse 59 and he says, to another he said, follow me. But the person said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, we often misunderstand this. We think, man, that's awfully cruel for Jesus to have said that. This would have been a phrase that they would have used in that time that would mean this literally, because likely that gentleman's dad wasn't dead yet. And so what he was saying was, Jesus, let me wait until my father passes away so that I can bury him and then get my inheritance. Then I'll follow you once I get my inheritance. That's really what he was saying. It was kind of like a Palestinian idiom, if you will, or some sort of a phrase that they would often say, let me bury my father. Well, let me wait until he passes away, take care of all of the process, and then get his inheritance. Then I'm set and I can follow you. And so Jesus, in his response, is basically saying, will you follow me even when you don't get the money of the world? Where's your treasure at? Is it in your comforts? Is it in the money of the world? Where's your treasure at, is what he's saying. And he goes on to verse 61 of Luke, and he says, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus is saying in there? You must be all in. He's saying, once you set your eyes on me, see me as the treasure and pursue me as the treasure, and don't let other things take your attention to the point where you begin to pursue those things. Now, I believe this is one of those things that is a constant practice. Something that you have to continually say, no, he's my treasure. No, he's my treasure. When all the stuff is saying, no, come over here. No, come over here. You've got to say, no, he is my treasure. I think that's what Jesus is saying. You put your hand to the plow and don't keep turning around, because what happens when you try to plow something and you're looking behind you? That's right. You get funny lines all over the place. But we are to live a straight life towards Christ in everything that we do. Why? Because he is a treasure beyond anything else that the world can give to you. He is the absolute treasure in all things. And so when we look at this, we realize that. But these gentlemen, they did anything and everything. Now, I would say this, do anything even when it's uncomfortable. Do anything to pursue this treasure, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if you have to give up things, even if you have to do things that are painful. Because I want to tell you this, sacrifice is worth the pain when you understand the reward. When I was in high school, we had, I think I may have told you this before, but we had in our workout room this panther on the wall who was buff. I've never seen a buff panther except for on this wall. And it said on it, go hard or go home. All right, go hard or go home. What he's saying is be willing to sacrifice your comfort to get better. Listen, we ought to be willing to sacrifice because we see the reward of Christ is so much better than anything else that the world can provide. Sacrifice because we understand there is a greater reward, even if people think you're crazy. Think about this individual when he went and sold everything he had. Y'all, he got rid of it all. He liquidated every single thing to buy an empty field. Can you imagine what his family would have been saying? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? I mean, maybe if there was a house on the land, I could see something. Or maybe if there was a way that you could make money from this land, but you're selling everything that you have. You're not a rich man to begin with. You're selling it all to get that? Are you kidding? They may have mocked him. There's no telling what his family would have said. But he said, you know what? There's a treasure there. He may not have told them that, but he was thinking to himself, there's a treasure and it's worth everything and I'm willing to do anything. You're all in when you're willing to give everything. Not just do anything, but to give everything. Not just do it all, but to give it all. And both of these parables, both men, they sold every single thing that they had. They liquidated everything to say, this one treasure is worth everything else that I own. It's worth more than everything else that I own. What a great message that Jesus is trying for us to understand. That there is nothing in this world, there is nothing in your life, there's nothing else anywhere that compares to Him. There's nothing, guys. But we often don't act that way. Me included. We often don't act that way. We often try to fill our lives with these other things and we let the idea of who Christ is escape our mind. They sold every single thing that they had in order that they might gain this treasure, in order that they might be able to show the world that this is the one thing they desire more than anything else. And this is the truth of the gospel. Nothing compares to Christ. There's nothing more valuable than Christ. It is when we understand this truth that we are willing to sacrifice anything to gain the treasure of knowing Christ. Now, this goes against our natural instincts. But sometimes we've got to take that flesh, as I said at the beginning, Luke 9:23. If you would come after me, you must take up your cross, which means put your flesh on the cross and the desires of the flesh on the cross to say, no, this is more important. This is better. Now, I love what David Platt says. He says this: Christ is supremely satisfying in such a way that if you lose everything on the earth, but you get the kingdom of heaven, you have a happy trade-off. It's a happy trade-off to lose all the stuff of the earth and then gain Christ. He says it's a happy trade-off because the kingdom, he goes on, but because the kingdom of heaven is something worth losing everything for. We joyfully let go of all things in order to passionately take hold one thing, that being Christ. So no cost is too big to gain the treasure of infinite worth. No cost is too great to gain Christ. Nothing. So to be all in, it means to see that treasure. It means be willing to do anything. It means be willing to give anything and everything. But lastly, we see that you're all in when your joy is found in one thing above all else. Your joy is found above one thing, or one thing above all else. Notice that, first of all, this is their choice to sell everything. It's not something that somebody comes in and says, you better get this done. Come on, what are you thinking? No, they do it with a joyful heart. They see the value of the treasure and they say, I'm in, let's go. Come on, I don't want anything else but that treasure. I want that. And it's my joy to have that. That's what they look at this and nobody makes them sell everything. They do it willingly. They do it joyfully. They're all in because they say this is worth more than anything that I've got. And so they give it all. I'm going to liquidate. I'm going to sell it all. I'm going to give it up. Because it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. And so their joy was in giving everything up. It is a joyful thing to gain a treasure. It is a joyful thing to come across something of value that can be yours. And so for them, they said, I'm going to do this joyfully, not begrudgingly. You know, sometimes we get into that place where we think to ourselves, well, I gotta take up my cross today. Oh, woe is me. I've got to follow Jesus today. Y'all, they didn't see it that way. They saw it as a joyful thing. They saw it as, this is my treasure. It's not begrudging. Y'all, we can all, again, me included, get to that point where we feel like, oh, yeah, I got to do this today. When we feel that way, you know what we ought to do? We ought to say to ourselves, no. Think about the value of Christ. Think about the value of heaven. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. We ought to redirect our woeful thoughts of I got to do this to I get to do this. You know, one time I was, this has been years ago, but I was driving into an office at church. I think I was still in Tulsa at this point, and I thought to myself, this thought came up, oh, I've got to go back into the office today. And then I thought to myself, wait a second. I get to tell people about Jesus. And it changed my entire day. I was thinking about all of the things that I had to do, and then I thought, I get to tell people about Christ. I was speaking that Wednesday night, and I thought to myself, I get to tell people. And it changed everything. Why? Because my attitude shifted from I have to this is a joyful thing. This is a joyful thing. And so what I desire for you to understand today is that there is nothing in this world that compares to Christ. Y'all, please understand this. Please see that there's nothing in this world that compares to who Jesus is. There's nothing compared to what you receive through trusting Him as your Savior. Nothing compares to that. You get life eternal, but not just living forever. You get the Creator of the universe in your life forever to walk with Him daily. Y'all, that is an incredible thing, and I want you to understand the incredible value of that. There is no treasure that can measure up to Him. And so I don't say this because it's an easy thing. I say this is because it is a thing that we need more than anything else, but also that we get above everything else. We have this beautiful treasure in Christ. And so this treasure, the greatest treasure, has been exposed to you. Y'all, you've happened to come into service on a Sunday morning and a treasure eroded out of the ground to see the value of who Christ is and what other people have done in order to obtain that treasure. There's a treasure that's presented before you. Do you see that this treasure is worth more than anything else? Do you see it? Do you see this popping out of the ground to the point where you think, that's worth more than anything that I got in my life? That's worth more than anything, including my very life. Do you see it? Are you willing to do anything to get it? Are you willing to sacrifice the things of the world to get close to Christ? Because the world doesn't want you to get close to Christ. The world more and more is antagonistic towards the things of Christ. Are you willing to say, I don't care what they think of me, I'm going this direction? Or are you going to say, well, it's just too hard? Where are you? What are you going to do? Do you find joy in finding this treasure? Have you pushed all the chips of your life out on the table to say, I'm all in, Jesus? I'm all in. You are the treasure. I'm all in. I want to close with this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Again, this is Jesus speaking in verse 19 of chapter 6. And Jesus says this: do not lay up treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Will y'all bow with me? Lord Jesus, You are a treasure. God, beyond anything that we really fully and completely understand at this point, You are the treasure. And Father, as we look at this story and as we see that these men, that they sold everything in order to get this treasure, they saw it as more valuable than anything else in the world. Sometimes, Father, we don't see You that way. And when we don't, would You forgive us? In our weakness, Lord, would You help us to become strong by seeing this incredible treasure? God, You've called us to be all in. You said if we would come after You, then we must take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow You. We must do that, Father, but sometimes it's hard. It's always hard, really, when you look at the world and what it says. But, Father, we need Your power in our life. First of all, to see You as the treasure. Lord, would You help us? God, would you please remove the junk of the world from our mind in order to see that You're worth more? Help us, Father, to be able to experience life in such a way that we would see You as the greatest thing ever, and that we would live for it and joyfully move towards You. We ask this, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.